Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 396. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about political murals, a black taxi tour, and the Titanic experience as we go to Belfast in Northern Ireland. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. The first one is one of those usual, somebody gets kicked off a plane. In this case, it was a blind man and his dog got kicked off a plane because during a delay on the tarmac, the dog would apparently come out from beneath the seat. The flight attendant became upset, words were exchanged, and the man was kicked off. But everyone else on the plane was so upset with the flight attendant that the whole flight was canceled. I'm thinking the PR department of US Airways is cringing. In technology news, IBM's Watson computer may be competing against travel agents. IBM announced last week that they're planning on targeting specific markets for their handy-dandy computer device, and in this case, they decided to go after one that was already in trouble, so I would have thought Watson might have looked for a higher-paying job. Speaking of paying, during Vienna's Design Week, which took place in September, one particular restaurant wanted to promote recycling, and therefore you could pay for your bill by bringing in trash. You were given a voucher equivalent to the value of your garbage. All of the rubbish had to be compostable, and it was sent to local farms. For links to all three of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome back to the show Mary Jo Manzanares, who's coming to us from Traveling with MJ, and come this time to talk to us about Belfast, Northern Ireland. Mary Jo, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
And I've seen Mary Jo a little more recently than that because we hang out at these travel conferences and such. And after the travel conference in Dublin, the TBEX conference, you went up to Northern Ireland.
I did.
Why did you decide to go to Belfast in this trip? And what would you recommend for us to see if we follow in your footsteps?
Well, the decision to go was actually an easy one. I was very interested in learning about some of the political history that I grew up knowing about in the late 60s and 70s, now called the Trouble. And so I was very interested in learning more about that in the place where it happened. And my husband, Tony, was very interested in learning more about the Titanic and the history of that in Belfast as well. And with the new Titanic experience opening up earlier this year, it was a real easy decision to go to see both of those and what else the city had to offer.
And I want to do those actually in the opposite order here, because there's a few different cities that have a tie to the Titanic. So what's Belfast tie to the Titanic?
It was built there.
That was my understanding. Okay.
It's a pretty big tie. The H&W shipyards are there and actually still are operating, although they're not building ships. When the Titanic was built, they were one of the big shipyards there in Ireland. And now they're actually doing some sort of turbine building. But they're still there. They're still in operating and just building something other than ships now.
And tell us a little bit about the Titanic experience, because this is a new museum that they've opened.
It is. It opened earlier this year, I believe it was spring sometime, and it's got both the components of the flashy multimedia, this is the great effect era, as well as some history that really makes you stop and think that what we may think of only from seeing the movie Titanic really was such a key part of Belfast and Ireland and the lives of people during that era. So the experience itself could take anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half if you want to rush through quickly, on up to, easily 2 to 3 hours if you want to read all of the personal biographies and look at every one of the exhibits.
So it focuses more than just the only one trip of this particular ship.
Yes. I mean, it really does start with the relationship of the shipyard to the community and what was happening during that period of time, why shipyards were flourishing, what shipbuilding meant to the economy, both of Ireland and Belfast, but of the world. And it took you basically through historically, culturally, socioeconomically, from literally start to the rather unfortunate finish.
Excellent. And did they talk at all about the White Star Line and the other sister ships that also sank, but we don't talk about those? Or
Well, we don't talk about those. Yes, it did cover some of the other ships that were built mm-hmm. by H&W and had more illustrious careers than the Titanic. One of the features that I really liked there, and I mean, they say it's an experience. They don't call it a museum or an exhibit mm-hmm. because it does combine a little bit of the museum, a little bit of the glitz. But it's basically a little room with one side open, and so you're standing looking into a room, and you actually have the experience of starting in the lower deck, if you mm-hmm. will, of the ship, of the Titanic, and then it takes you up all the way, I guess, floor by floor, deck by deck, up the wooden staircase that you see in the movie and sort of the hallmark of the ship. And you actually have the experience of being on a ship. And it's thanks to wonderful technology, it actually feels like you're on the ship.
Excellent. Anything more we want to talk about that before we move on to other things to see in Belfast?
No, there's some great views, and you can also spend some time actually walking along the water. So, you know, if it's a rainy day, as it was for us, you're going to want to stay inside and enjoy that part of it. But if it's a nice day, you can actually go out and walk along the water there, and you can't get into any of the docks or anything, but you can enjoy a little stroll along the water and get the outdoor effect as well.
But what's the odds that we'll run into a rainy day in Northern Ireland or Ireland?
Well, we had a couple while we were there, but and that's one of the great things. There's plenty of things to do inside. So on those days where it's just too rainy to be out, be flexible with your travel plans and make those choices. And when you get those days with just a little bit of drizzle, then go outside.
Excellent. And what else would you recommend we see while we're in Belfast?
Well, one of the areas that's been an up-and-coming kind of part of the city is called the Cathedral Quarter. We stayed in a hotel just on sort of the edge of that. And when they say cathedral, it's St. Anne's Cathedral officially, although frequently referred to as Belfast Cathedral. They've revitalized it, and now in addition to the cathedral, which as you would expect is quite beautiful, it's sort of an area now where there are shops and boutiques, if you're into that kind of thing, pubs, both pubs of the club night type drinking variety, as well as pubs, just the corner place where you're going to go get a pint or a bite to eat. Mm-hmm. As well as some nice fine dining restaurants and some other hotels. So it's a great area to walk around, pop into some place, listen to some music, just sort of enjoy the area.
Excellent. Do you have a restaurant or a pub to recommend for us?
A few that I'd recommend. You know how sometimes you just get lucky when you find someplace? We had that experience twice while we were there. The first was an actual area that has a variety of restaurants, and we checked out a place called Coppi's, which is an Italian restaurant. And evidently, this was a well-known chef who has started this from the UK, and it was excellent. If you want just like to stop off for a pint and a little look at Irish pub history, I'd recommend the Duke of York. You'll find people in there all hours of the day or night having a pint or some Irish whiskey. And also right across from the Duke of York is a little alley that has some incredible artwork as murals. And although there are murals in Western Belfast that are of more political nature, these are more entertainers. And it's a great wall to stand in front of and see who you recognize. It's like, oh, there's Sinead O'Connor, and oh, there's Van Morrison. So that was actually kind of a fun little precursor to going in the bar. For a third, I'd recommend, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, Hadskies. They are a longtime Belfast family, originally in the pots and pans industry, sort of a foundry where they made those. And as luck would have it, we happened to be walking down the alley to look at the murals that I was talking about, and walked by and went, oh, that's a cute little place. There was no sign. They had just opened a couple of days before, and we popped in there for a great meal and fell in love with their almond tart that they offered, and had to make another trip later in the time we were there for that and a cup of tea as a late night dessert.
Excellent. And what else should we see in Belfast?
Well, since I mentioned murals, that was really the reason that I wanted to go to Belfast, is I wanted to learn more about the political background and history. There are several ways to see the murals. You can do walking tours. If you're driving, you can do that on your own. My recommendation would be to do the Black Taxi Tour. Mm-hmm. I had heard wonderful things about this from a number of people. While I was at TBEX, and I talked with the Northern Ireland people there, they said, oh, please let us arrange that for you because we think you'll really enjoy it. And boy, they're right. We really did.
And so this is a very small group tour because it's only people that can fit in a black taxi.
Yeah, it was Tony and I. They're private, and you actually can meet with your driver in advance, which is what we do. They're customized based. I mean, they have a standard itinerary that is an hour and a half tour, and they can do that for you. But we met the driver at the hotel and talked about the kinds of things we were interested in. We'd had a little bit of time to see the city before, so we didn't have to redo something. And it totally personalized for what we wanted to see. And one of the things was really understanding the murals of the Protestant area, which was called Shankill, and how that differed from the murals and the community of the Catholic part, which was called the Falls. And learning about how those came to be, and it was an amazing tour. Our driver, Billy, sometimes I had to wonder if he was just giving me a little Irish history on the light side versus the humorous side, and how much of it was actual history. But he did a marvelous job of weaving in what I like to think of Irish mythology, if you will, or creative history with what really happened. And it's easy to see why he's a very popular and often requested driver.
And when we talk about the murals, we are talking about things that are very political in their nature.
Very.
And some of them are from the time of the Troubles and some of them are more recent, or are they all from that sort of 68 to 98 time period?
They are all over the board.
Okay.
Some of them are new and some of them have just been restored. But I think the thing that kind of came home to me in visiting, that while the bombings have stopped, and believe me, Belfast is very, very safe to visit. It's not like in the late 60s, early 70s when there were bombings. The underlying issues are still there. There is still very much the underlying issues of separatism and nationalism and politics. The political divide is still there. And in looking at the murals, you really see that the struggles still go on today. I mean, in Shankill, which is the Protestant neighborhood where the murals are, I mean, it's still very much what we would want to call a project. I don't know the proper Irish terminology for it or description, but what we would think of it as seriously subsidized housing. Their murals very much have the tone of the haves and the have not. I mean, very much the socioeconomic divide represented in their murals.
Can you give an example? Because I'm not sure that I'm picturing what kind of things you're seeing.
The oppressed class uprising, the disenfranchised, that type of thing. Each neighborhood has their heroes, if you will, or martyrs that they tout.
What's the maximum people that would fit in the cab, by the way?
I think you could get 5 or 6 in there.
Okay.
The prices, I think, for an hour and a half tour are probably going to be around 20 to 25 pounds. I mean, everything is kind of customized, so you need to talk about what you want to do and get a price quote, but certainly very reasonably priced.
Okay. Excellent. Any other suggestions of things to do while we're in Belfast?
Well, one of the, of course, great things to do is just wandering the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And again, downtown has been totally revitalized after the Troubles. Belfast City Hall is sort of the focal point of the downtown area. If you were to be meeting somebody there and you were going to pick a place to go meet, that's where you would say, oh, well, we'll just meet out in front of City Hall. It's a beautiful building, I'm sure some notable architectural style. And it's great just to walk around outdoors. They have beautiful lawns where they're very accessible. You'll see people at lunch grabbing a bite outside. There's evidently concerts and stuff sometimes outside on the lawn. They offer free tours twice daily, I think 11 and 3 during the time that we were there. It might change during the summer. Since we just couldn't quite time it right for the tours, you can go in and look around on your own. It is a working city hall, so there are going to be some places that, that you can't go, but it's got the beautiful domes, the marble floors, great staircases. I mean, all the things that make you go ooh and ah about an older building. They also have a great little almost mini museum, if you will, that is located just off the lunchroom or cafeteria or whatever they call it. I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about famous people from Belfast or what Belfast was really known for. And we actually spent probably almost an hour in this little room, and it basically talked about the people of Belfast and their place in history and some inventions that had come of research and stuff done by people who lived in Belfast, and it was interesting.
Excellent. And you were talking about the architectural style of the building and were noncommittal there. I would have said it was Georgian from the pictures, but I'm reading that it is Edwardian. So for the people who can tell their Edwardian architecture for their Georgian, I just wanted to be specific there. Excellent. What surprised you about Belfast?
I think what surprised me is sort of what I touched on before, is that while I knew it was safe and it was okay to go there and the Troubles were over and the peace agreement was signed, I don't think I truly appreciated the underlying socioeconomic political strife that still exists. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's naive on my part, because I mean, come on, let's try to pick a country that isn't having some sort of strife or concern or something going on. But I guess I thought that Good Friday Peace Accord sort of put an end and everyone lived happily ever after. And while to a large part that's true, that's also pretty naive. There's still some struggles that they're facing.
One warning you would give about Belfast?
I don't think I would give an actual warning. Okay. I think I would just urge that if you're going to have the political discussion, and clearly we did want to talk about it, I mean, you're just not going to walk up to somebody on the street and ask these questions. You really need to find someone who understands that you want to have the serious discussion about that. And with us, that was our black cab driver. We also met with the people from Northern Ireland Tourism, who were more than willing to have that discussion. I mean, it's very clearly a part of the tourism industry to talk about the Troubles. But just like I wouldn't walk into a local restaurant and start having a political discussion at home, I mean, you certainly shouldn't do that there either.
Okay.
Because it's rude, not because it's not safe or anything. It's just rude.
You're standing in the most beautiful spot you saw in Belfast. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think I'm standing right downtown looking at City Hall.
Okay.
It sort of represents the best of old and new, and it really is beautiful. And it I think part of the beauty is that it has stood for some period of time and certainly has evolved, but the beauty is actually in the whole revitalization of the city.
Excellent.
We had one other place that I'd recommend going, which is Belfast Castle. Mm-hmm. Belfast Castle is not going to be walkable. You're going to need to take the bus or a cab. My recommendation would be to take a cab, because then you can do some walking and head back. I'll be honest, the reason we went was not the reason we liked it. The reason we we went was because we heard it was a castle, and what's not to like about going to see a castle? However, it's actually been turned into a meeting and event facility, and so while you can poke your head in, it's really not what we were expecting in terms of being able to go to a castle. It does have gorgeous grounds and gardens, but what they didn't tell us is that it actually has three trails that you can hike depending on how ambitious you are or how much time you have. There's a very simple walk around the gardens, lower grounds area. You can do an estate tour trail that takes you a variety of farther afield, probably closer to 2 miles. And then there's another one that's going to take you up to, oh, I cannot remember now, the Country Hill Park, I think it is the to the top of this bluff. And they reference that as a trail of some difficulty and some challenge, which was not what we were in the mood for when we were there, because we didn't come prepared to go hiking, either timing-wise or dress and shoes wise. So my recommendation would be to do the estate tour. It's a lovely tour. You get some beautiful views of the city and the surrounding area. And then if you've taken the cab there, you'll have plenty of energy. And then you can just walk back down the hill because the castle is at the top of a hill, and then catch the bus back into downtown Belfast.
Excellent. Question for you. So you went from Dublin to Belfast.
Yes.
And obviously one difference between them is going to be the big political murals. Were there other things that you noticed that struck you as particularly different between those two places?
Definitely. First of all, it's a different country.
Right. Sure.
And it's easy to forget that. So in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, they're on the pound versus the euro. So although there are signs at some of the ATMs, there are some machines and some banks where you can get your disbursement in euros versus pounds. So that was a difference. But the other than that, I mean, in terms of what they experienced, both from the famine and immigration and everything else, it's an island. So all of that was still the same. It's just a different country.
Okay. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Belfast.
Where you're offered a beer or Irish whiskey, and only after declining are you offered a cup of tea. And I say that not to say that everybody's drinking and drunk all the time. It's just that it is so much an integral part of their culture, much like if you were in Italy, you would expect to be offered a glass of wine at every turn.
Sure.
It is just innately part of the culture, and it seems so natural.
Excellent. Before I get to my last two questions, anything else we should know before we head to Belfast?
The thing I would reference is that it is an easy trip from Dublin. So
right.
If you plan on visiting Dublin, it is a couple hours by train or bus, and it's well worth carving out a few days to make that trip.
Excellent. Finish the sentence. You really know you're in Belfast when what?
When you're looking at political murals, getting a new understanding for the place that you're visiting.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Belfast in just three words, what three words would you use?
Politics, history, and whiskey.
And whiskey.
And I say that, and I don't even like whiskey, but it is just such a part of the culture.
Excellent. I would have said that I didn't like whiskey until I tried whiskey recently in Dublin, and I discovered that I don't like American whiskey. And actually, Irish whiskey is much more smooth, so...
Interesting. I don't like it at all. Tony loves it. But at the Jameson speakers party, they had the drink that had raspberries and you couldn't even taste the whiskey. I really liked that. Probably because it didn't taste like whiskey.
Excellent. Mary Jo, where can people read more about your travels?
You can find me at Traveling with MJ.
And that's travelingwithmj.com.
Yes, it is. And I'm on Twitter at MJ Manzanares and Facebook at Mary Jo Manzanares or Traveling with MJ.
Excellent. Mary Jo, thanks for coming back on the show and telling us about your newfound love for Belfast.
Thanks, Chris.
First, some apologies. This show is coming out a little late because of some unscheduled unconsciousness and regurgitation, and we will leave it at that. I did hear this week from Andrea about the episode we did recently on Ottawa, who commented on the National Gallery. One of the best things in Ottawa is the National Gallery. I never liked much of the Group of Seven, except Lauren Harris, until I saw the paintings in real life. Absolutely amazing, and so Canadian. Thanks, Andrea. And I also got this feedback from Jacinda, who said, my family and I are heading to the U.S. from Australia very soon, December 9th. My husband and I are window cleaners and have been listening to your podcasts while we work. We just wanted to let you know that we have enjoyed listening to them and have listened to some of them at least three times. We have incorporated some of the things we've heard about into our trip. They have been very helpful, and thank you for producing them. And Jacinda, thanks for writing. And please, if you are listening to The Amateur Traveler, do remember to also pay attention to your surroundings if you're way up there high window washing. But I'm glad the show is proving useful. In a similar note, I heard from Andrew Hickey, the Brooklyn nomad, or at least the former Brooklyn nomad, who was on the show some time ago talking about the city of Brooklyn, and someone had just written him saying they had used that resource to plan their trip to New York City. So always pleased when I hear that people are using the show. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or on the Facebook community, facebook.com/amateurtraveler. You can also follow me on Twitter @ChrisToX. And as always, thanks so much for listening.